Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop. Good morning, wherever you are finding yourself. This is the time for Early Morning Scoop with David Shombe. And I think it's the right time. It's the right time to thank Matthias Sangara. It's the right time to thank Matthias Sangara. And yeah, this is your Economic Conversation Program. It's your Economic Conversation Program. And it's the first of September 2025. It happens to be my birthday also. And and the thing about growing, you put yourself in order. It's a matter of you putting yourself in order, and also start when you start getting old, start disliking few things. But yeah, the weekend has not been quite a very good weekend, especially to Namibia, due to horrific, road accident. And just also a time also to respect and also, give, condolences to those who lost, their loved ones. And it's also a matter of us to be a bit cautious, especially when we are using our roads. So to be a bit cautious and also to think about other people. But yeah, looking at September, it's always good to be positive about the future. So good to be positive about the future. So this is your Economic Conversational Program, and this is the time that we discuss about business, we discuss about economics, we discuss about issues of trade. We look at things which affect bread and butter. We look at investment. We look at areas of SME development. How are our SMEs doing? What are the issues with regulations? We touch on regulators. We also touch on issues of infrastructure, things that are related to infrastructure development. How are our infrastructure? How are the infrastructure that we have support our development, support our trade? How are our infrastructure support, the way we trade with our neighbors, the way we trade with the world, and also the services that we are getting. Like we're always saying, this is your Economic Conversational Program. It's a program which is, we look at policies, we analyze issues, we look at what is happening in the world, and we are always trying to make sure that every conversation that we bring on the table, it's a conversation, that can assist you to learn one or two things about development, and also to see how you can also contribute to national developmental conversations. And this is also the program that we call in policymakers, analysts, economists, business enthusiasts, and everybody who is interested in development, who is interested in issues of economics and issues of governance. Like we're always saying, after every conversation that we bring on the table, we are always making sure that we open the line. We open the line so that you can engage us in the studio, so that you can ask your question, you can give your contribution, You can also come up with your constructive criticism, because when it's coming to issues of development, when it's coming to, issues of governance, there are various ways, there are various perspectives. That's why we are always indicating to you that your views always matter. Your view matters, because we believe that for us to build institutions, we do not necessarily need to agree on everything. However, we need to come on board and also pass our points across. Give your point across. Let us disagree to agree, because it could be that you are a person who have experience in topics that we are discussing about. It could be that you are a person who have done more research. It could be that your views can be used either by our policymakers, by our business persons, by citizens out there. Maybe you have a better methodology on how to approach issues. Maybe you wrote books about the topics that we are discussing about. Maybe you are a professor somewhere. You are a researcher somewhere. maybe you have more practical experience. That's why we're always encouraging you to say, after every conversation that we bring about, we are giving you an opportunity. We are giving you an opportunity so that you can engage us in the studio, so that you can engage us in the studio, you can ask your question, and also, give, your contribution, because institutions are built by people who agree and disagree so that, they find better ways, better, mechanisms on how to move forward. We are always indicating to you that as long as Namibia is standing where it's standing, as long as Namibia is standing where it's standing, we'll continue to have this conversation, When you look at, the issues of, income inequality, where we are at number 2 in the world out of all the countries, we look at, issues of, unemployment, we look at, issues of, governance, particularly with our SOEs, we look at, issues of, you know, being a primary, exporter of, products. Those are the issues that have been discussed about, And so issues that, Maria's also, touched on, we will continue to have this conversation until, we come to the point where, Namibia achieve its national developmental goals, its national developmental plans. And we're always indicating to you that, you know, when you look at, for example, at NDP 6, you'll be able to realize that, the president is calling everybody, to be the catalyst of development, to say we cannot achieve this alone. She also called for Namibian friends and developmental partners. That's why when we talk about issues of development in this program, we are always making sure that, you know, we encourage everybody to be a catalyst of development and also to contribute to the conversation. Yeah, before we go to what we have for you on the table today, we are always indicating to you, that you can connect with us, Eagle FM Namibia, connect with us at all our social media platform, connect with us on Facebook, connect with us on X, LinkedIn, and also Instagram. You can like and share our page, so that you will be having an opportunity to get updates when it's coming to issues of governance, when it's coming to issues of trade, when it's coming to business, SME development, and also financial sector. So like the page of Eagle FM Namibia, share that page on Facebook, on LinkedIn, X, and also on Instagram, because you know, though if you share our page, those who are following you will also be able to follow us, and they will not miss out when it's coming to issues of economy, issues of governance, and also issues of sport. We also touch on issues of sport because it's one of the priorities, one of the main priorities of our government. We touch on sport, and also we touch on issues of trade. So make sure that you share and like our page, so that you will not miss out. And the other thing is also that we have the Villager newspaper. We have the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. It's coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So you can like and share, the page of the Villager newspaper. And you can also subscribe to the Villager newspaper so that you will not miss out. And, the better way, what you can do if you want to receive, the Villager newspaper every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, every Friday morning through your WhatsApp phone. Just make sure that you send your name to this number, 081-241-44, 081-241-44. When you do that, you will be able to have, access to economic content-based paper, and you will not miss out, particularly when it's coming to issues of development. We are always indicating to you that if you are a researcher, if you are a student, make sure that you can be a researcher, you can be a student, you are a business person, you are a developmental enthusiast, you are a student of international trade, you are a student of governance, economics, development, or somebody who is interested in business and SME development, we are always indicating to you that make the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information. If you make the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information, then you will not miss out and you will have access to that content, and you can expand your thinking from there, because you'll be able to get access to latest sources on economics, and you'll become a good citizen who understand economic matters, and also somebody who will be able to make long-term favorable decisions when it's coming to business, when it's coming to investment, and also when it's coming to trade. Because if you have access to information, if you have access to data, you are an individual who can make those long-term economic strategic decisions. And when you are in the boardroom, when you are discussing something, you will be somebody who also have content, not just be in conversation about development, not just be in conversations about trade issues, and you are just saying yes, yes, or yani, but that is not how things should be. Because for us to move our country forward, we should also develop a culture of reading, and not just reading about anything, but reading about issues that affect us, issues that you know, can improve our lives. Because if you are aware of what is happening, for example, when you look at, for example, at there are informations out there, for example, at a report by Namfisa, which stated that the end of last year, 8.1 billions are owed to cash loans by professionals, even trade economists. So let's go to a commercial break.
Super Bargains await you at USave, where you pay for the product and not the brand. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lovey's premium disposable nappies, 36.99 for 1 kilo Mama's High Foam hand washing powder, 750 milliliter Sunlight dishwashing liquid for only 32.99 Namibian dollars, and Palm Olive shampoo and conditioner for 34.99 Namibian dollars each. USave, I save, we all save at USave.
My friend, why do you...
Yes, we are always indicating to you that when you read the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to have access to the content and context of development, economics, trade, sport, and also SME development. We are indicating to you that conversation, like, for example, when we are talking right now, when you look at the report, for example, by Namfisa, which indicated that 8.1 billion Namibian dollars are owed to cash loans, especially by young professionals, and also professionals who have been in the field for quite a long time, you'll be able to understand that with our little knowledge of finance, you will be able to see that even professors of economics, even trade analysts, even accountants, these are the people who are struggling how to use finance. Even bankers, then you'll be able to understand that when we have access to this information, especially through the Villager newspaper, when you have access to this data, then we can be able to make right decisions, and also see how we can assist ourselves, because we also cover the content of financial inclusion, and also, most importantly, financial literacy. So make the Villager newspaper part of your sources of information, and also that is where your point of departure when you are expanding your research. And the other thing, there are also those who are asking good questions, especially when it's coming to the frequency. If you find yourself in a situation that you are not connected to the frequency, or the frequency is fluctuating, or you are at a place where it's very difficult for you to be connected to the frequency, we are always indicating to you that with Eagle FM Namibia, we found a better and smart way of connecting to you, and how also you can listen to Eagle FM wherever you are finding yourself. You can be in Namibia or even outside Namibia. So what you can do, you can download Eagle FM app. Just take your smartphone, go to Play Store or go to App Store, and type in Eagle FM Namibia. Then you have access to that app. Download it, take it into your phone. And when you put it in your phone, when you just download it in your phone, the moment you download it, when you just open it, you'll be listening to programs which are on air, like currently now, will be listened to the conversations which are on air. And in a situation that you have missed the program that you planned to listen to, you can also have access to Open Archive. That is a podcast. You can go to the podcast, then you'll be able also to see and also be able to listen at your own time, at your own pace, the programs that you have missed, or when that program was played, or when that presenter was in at the show, you were out doing something of equal importance. You also have time to go back and listen at your own time, at your own pace. And alternatively, you can also be able to listen to us, Eagle FM Namibia. You can listen to us online. Just place in Eagle FM Namibia, press home, then you can be able to listen to the programs which are live on air. And yeah, the other thing, we have Imba app. Get yourself time and the luxury of accessing Imba app. Get yourself time and also the luxury of accessing Imba app, because Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. It's a digital version of a hymn book. Sometimes you are called, or you, when you go to church, when you go to events, or such as, you know, send off, party, graduation, celebration of, something happened in your family, maybe, 50 years anniversary of your grandparents, or any other, events that require you to sing from a hymn book. Even unfortunate life events, that, you know, happen to everybody, such as death, and also, can be at the memorial service, but you do not have, a hard copy hymn book. We are indicating to you that do not worry, do not scratch your head, because we got you with, Imba app. Imba app is just an app that you can, download to. Go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, then you download Imba app. When you download Imba app, the beauty of it is that, when you download Imba app, you can be able to have access to the digital version of a hymn book. Either is in Oshuambo, that is your Ehangano, and you also have English. You can also access Ochierero, that is Omaimburiro. You can also have access to Afrikaans hymn book, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app and make your life easy. And work smart. You know, it's in the world of digitalization. People are moving to the world of digitalization, and you don't need to miss out. You don't need to miss out. And they are finding better ways and smart way to save time and also energy. So if you want to work smart, have a luxury of accessing those new apps, or have access to those app, especially Eagle FM app, and also Imba app, then your life will be easier, and you'll save time and energy, and work smart also. So let's look at paying the bills. Then we can say what we have for you on the table today. What we have for you on the table today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are greeting you from here, Eagle FM Namibia. And we are always very happy, especially when you get time to listen to Eagle FM Namibia. And we are always very happy when you are following us on all our social media platform. And yeah, as I indicated earlier, we are looking at international news. We are looking at international news before we come at home, before it come at home to see what we have at home, what is happening in Namibia in terms of trade, governance, and also issues of economic and also human development. So this indicated that China welcome world leaders, especially when it's coming to the most anticipated summit, which is Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit. This is a summit between few powerful countries. It's indicated that it was established by China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tangistan, and also you know, now they have incorporated you know, India. Say that Prime Minister of India Narendra Modi has already arrived in China, and nothing else than economic decisions, nothing else than economic discussion, and nothing else than cooperation, and also nothing else than strategically positioning you know, new economies, especially emerging economies, when it's coming to this changing world. We see also Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, is now moving like a free man. He's also already in China. He arrived already in China yesterday. And this, you know, when you look at what is happening, you also be able to see that although you have the African countries, for example, developing countries, which are aligning themselves with new economic blocks such as BRICS, you also be able to see that powerful countries, they continue to maintain, maintain their relationships with these sub, you know, these sub summits or these small summits. Although China has a good relationship with Africa, it also have you know, strategic interest with other Asian countries. And it also making its own moves, particularly when it's coming to strengthening its economy. And you may also want to ask a lot of questions, especially how come this so entanglement or complicated relationships. For example, you have BRICS here, you have Africa-China cooperations, you have TICAD and all these summits, and you're also expecting G20. G20 to happen in November. However, let us look at this news, especially the one which is regarding Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, where Mr. Xi Jinping, Chairman Xi Jinping, is hosting world leaders, and we also need to see what are some of the content and also context of those conversations, especially moving forward when it's coming to these leaders aligning themselves. And we also be able to see the meaning of the joining of India to this cooperation or to this summit. So let us look at this news and see especially what is happening in China.
The Chinese President Xi Jinping welcomed world leaders in the northern port city of Tianjin on Sunday ahead of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit. Xi held talks at the Tianjin guest house with Maldivian President Mohamed Muiz, Azerbaijan President Ilan Aliyev, and Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan. Xi reaffirmed China's commitment to consolidate relations with the three countries, which are among the 14 nations that serve as dialogue partners of the summit. The summit was established by China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan, and later expanded to include members such as India, Iran, Pakistan, and Belarus. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi have also arrived in Tianjin for the summit. The summit comes just days before a massive military parade commemorating the 80th anniversary of the end of the World War II, where China emerged victorious over its neighbor.
That's what's happening.
Such as India, Iran, Pakistan, and Belarus. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi have also arrived in Tianjin for the summit. The summit comes just days before a massive military parade commemorating the 80th anniversary of the end of the World War II, where China emerged victorious over its neighbor Japan.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially when it's coming to the national economic news. We'll be able to see that countries are realigning themselves. Countries are realigning themselves, and they are looking at how they can move forward. I do not want to say how they can move forward without the United States of America. But looking at what's happening, particularly in the world, guess what's happening in the world where there is changes, particularly when it's coming to global alliance, the old former friends or the friends that you have been for a very long time, so changing sides because of survival of their people, and also looking at new partnership and also how they can move forward, particularly when it's coming to the trade issues. So I think the other thing that we need to look at is also related to trade, where you have international postal services pausing, their businesses, especially with United States of America, due to this, unpredictable tariffs of international postal services. They are pausing their services, especially working in the US or sending parcels to US because of the headache for international postal services because of these tariffs, especially when you look at Mexico. It was indicated that on Wednesday, Mexico joined a growing number of countries suspending their package shipment to the United States due to confusion over tariffs on low-valued parcels. Because, Namibians, we also like sending parcels. I think it's part of business. But when you look at how things are currently, especially with United States of America and also her partners in trade, you see imposition of tariffs, and tariffs are some of the things which they are discouraging traders, especially smaller businesses, due to the fact that instead of you making profit, you have to also to cut that profit so that you can pay when you are exporting to other countries, especially to United States of America. And these are also some of the things that we are going to expand more on today, to say how many Namibian businesses into exporting, at what level, what level? How are those infrastructure? How are those trade infrastructure? And where are we standing? Where are we positioned in terms of trade infrastructure? And before we go there, let us look at this news, especially with Mexico. Mexico. Get this news and see what is happening, especially regarding suspicion of shipment to United States of America.
A U.S. executive order reinstating duty on small packages is proving to be a big headache for international postal services. Mexico on Wednesday joined a growing number of countries in suspending package shipments to the United States due to confusion over tariffs on low-value parcels. Previously, packages worth less than $800 could enter the U.S. duty-free due to the so-called de minimis exemption. But that comes to an end on Friday, thanks to a U.S. executive order President Trump signed last month. Goods that previously entered the United States without needing to clear customs will require vetting and will be subject to their home country's tariff rate, anything from 10 to 50%. International postal services in Japan, Australia, India, and a number of European countries have already paused the shipment of packages to America. They say there's too much ambiguity about the kinds of goods covered by the new rules and no time to process their implications. In a statement last week, French mail service La Poste said the U.S. didn't provide full technical details or allow enough time for the French Postal Service to prepare for the new customs procedures. La Poste expressed regret over the situation and said it's continuing to work with U.S. authorities to resolve the issue as soon as possible. Proponents of limiting the exemption say it's allowed Chinese retail platforms to flood the U.S. with low-priced goods. But some smaller American businesses that rely on imported products could be hard hit by the rollback.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially when it's coming to tariffs. It's indicated that, even businesses, smaller businesses in America are also complaining, because remember, when you are exporting, there are also those who are buying from you. They are buying from you to do business in America. But now the new executive order, indicated that, even packages under, $800, they will be subjected to those tariffs. Although they were exempted at the initial stage, but now, when you look at the new executive order, it's indicating that packages which are below $800 are now subjected to tariffs. That is 15%. But when you look at sometimes. When you look at these issues of trade, you must also look at it from both sides. You must also look at it from both sides. Although we are talking about liberalization of the economy and free trade, you'll be able to understand that countries also which are open or they have lower tariffs, they are also, let their market being flooded with things of low value. Because it's also a bit strategic when United States of America is doing this, when you are looking at this from their side. Because tariff sometimes is being done to say, if the product is already here, or if the product is raw value, it's a set of a limit. But when you look, for example, with Namibia being a friend to everyone, an enemy to none, as per our foreign policy, in terms of trade, we encourage cooperation. We encourage cooperation with other countries. We also encourage private businesses to come to Namibia. However, we don't really look at what being sold are to us, what are the very, we don't really do proper quality check. If you want to get the evidence, just go to any market, then you will also be able to see what products are being sold to Namibians at what value. Look at objects. Look at things that you bought in your house. Just look at them and look at their quality. Where did you buy them? Look at the quality of those things. That how many of them are broken? How many of them have low quality? How many of them can be reused? Because if you start understanding that, then you'll be able also to see that sometimes tariffs or there's anti-dumping policy for us not to be a dumping ground also. We need to make sure that not only tariffs, but coming up with measures on proper regulate what is being sold in the country. It's one thing to have a market. It's the other thing to ask yourself, is this market or are this product valuable to us? Are they valuable to us? You know, a lot of things have been sold to us, you know, various products, and you cannot denounce them. Various products, this type of oil, this type of medication, and all these things. But when you look at that, when you just critically look and see what are these things doing to our people, do they have quality? Then you'll be able to understand. You'll be able to understand why some countries are so cautious, and they look at what is being put into their market, not just accepting anything. Because one thing about us Namibian, what we look at, because we are really in a desperate situation, and I can agree with that, to say we need jobs. And when a business person is coming to Namibia to open his business, we focus more on employ our people and do this. But when it's coming to, what are you really giving us? Are you really giving us what we need? Are we really giving us what we need? Or you are just coming here to sell us things that cannot last for 1 month, so that when they are broken, I can also come and also buy from you. Yes, it's good to accommodate people with low income, as we are highest unequal country when it's coming to income inequality, second in the world to South Africa. But it's also one thing also to look at quality. It's also one thing to look at quality, because what we are buying must have quality. And who can determine that quality? Must regulate. Just take a list of things that you think are not necessary, or Namibia don't really need, or Namibia can do them. You can make them. They are not really necessary. Look at the markets around. Yes, it's part of business, but we must also look at content. What is the quality of what are the quality of products that we are getting, and also why other countries are so critical about what is coming in their country? Because US is not new into this. United States is not new into this trade business, into this trade game. It's not new. It's the father of capitalism. They know they are business people. They cannot just enter a country without looking at what they want. They are business people. So is China. So that's why when we are looking at these tariffs, let us not only look at who is impacted. We must also ask why and what can we learn from this. What can we learn from this? Because to America, that is business. They are into business. So those are some of the things that we need to look at. Those are some of the things that we need to look at. Although these decisions also have, negative impact, especially to those small businesses who depend, on, importing, because they are also complaining. The one who are in America are also complaining about, tariffs as they are imposed even to packages which are below $800, and international post services, or yeah, traditional post services, they are also hurting, or they already stopped due to the fact that there is unpredictability. There is unpredictability in terms of trade with the United States of America, especially Mexico. There's a lot of unpredictability, and also we need to realign with your policies and also what you charge, because if when the product enter US market is required to pay 15%, for example, you also need to make sure that you don't make a loss. You also need to set price. You also need to change the agreements that you have with your stakeholders and also with your customers, so that you do business properly. Otherwise, you will lose out from the initial stage. So let us get.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Buy 2x Rhodes 1 liter 100% fruit juice for only $49.99. 2x 1.5 kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $139.99 with Smart Buy. 400ml Vaseline Body Cream or Lotion for $44.99. And 2 kg Sunlight Hand Wash Powder for only $54.99 with Smart Buy. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Yes, before we come to what is at home, let us look at South Africa. South Africa is our brother, so our big brother. Yeah, whatever is happening in South Africa, we are also impacted either positively or negatively. That's why it's unfair in our planning and also in our thinking. Not to think about South Africa, because we always wish what is good to South Africa, so that it's like we are wishing what is good, to us, because our economy is linked to South Africa. It's linked to South Africa. Looking at history and also looking at the current situation, and also it's our door to international trade. It's our door to international trade, and South Africa has been number one trade partner with Namibia for quite a long time, South Africa and China. And, it's indicated that there's only a few days, around 100 days, before the historic G20 summit, that will happen in Johannesburg. And, to be for the first time in the history of G20. And, those of you who are not familiar with G20 summit is a meeting of, developed countries, highly industrialized countries. And also, okay, let's take the caller. Hello?
Mr. David?
Yes, sir, how are you?
Mr. Shombe, man. If I call you David, I just say, David, how are you?
Yeah.
That is why I must say, Mr.
Shombe.
I must also say Mr. Shombe.
Yeah, Shombe is my father.
Yes, so Shombe must be respected.
Yeah, okay.
The dignity and the value attached to that. And we are also happy because the upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So also tells. So now, I've not been listening.
Yeah.
I just listened now.
Mm.
And I think there is something that we also need to get it clear. The fact that we are linked to South Africa is fine.
Mm.
And it's because of our past, like you said. But, you know very well that the Constitution of South Africa. That was crafted in 1996 or so, if I'm not mistaken. Which is actually a product of the Namibian Constitution.
Mm-hmm. So,
of the Namibian Constitution. Most of the legal principles, values, and norms are of the South African Constitution. Of the common law.
Yeah.
Countries and all this other registration.
Yeah.
most of those principles are drawn from the Namibian constitution.
I hear you, I hear you. So you did constitutional law or what?
That's why I follow you.
Oh, okay.
You are my learning counselor.
Okay.
So now, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
Because now South Africa is a developed and also a developing country. And people normally say, yes, South Africa, It's just because of the apartheid system, actually.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about even colonialism. All those things, they have done so damage. And when people talk about South Africa, it's like, of course, even their legal system, most of them, they were supporting apartheid.
But is that not the new South Africa? Because there was the other South Africa, then you have the South Africa of 1994. Maybe we need to get the clarity from there.
Yeah, no, you are right. Yeah. We should make a distinction there.
Yeah.
But yes, but the people usually say, yes, of course, we are relying on South Africa.
Mm.
But what we are saying is that if, for example, they put some restriction just on the product, it is for us. Like you say, let's start planning, doing research on planning and find out that, yes, how can we do it here?
Yeah.
In this particular area, maybe in terms of agri produce. That's why the government sometimes in Mwanja, they always put this restriction now. It's for us to utilize what we have now here.
I hear you.
And then we now say, fine, we organize ourselves, those who do not have employment, those who are eligible to get those funds that Tumbo is putting available for the youth. And then you see now, how do we come out from this thing?
Yeah, I have a question. Look, do we have Namibians, or do we have this thing in our mind to say this is exactly where we want to go? Because I've seen it at various discussion. A person does not even want to come up with a garden at the home, at the backyard. We have this thing of fast.
Sometimes we need to impress that spirit within ourselves. And it's not going to be nobody from outside. We are just, you see, that's why I always pity ourselves. So, you see, like this Africa free trade and all these blocks that people are talking about. If we are not careful, we as youth and Namibians and everybody, we'll be swallowed up by the people who are coming from Nigeria, Ghana, to come and plant just simple things here, cassava, in our homes.
It's true.
When we grew up, every house in my village has got a cassava trees, has got a sweet potato ikapa, has got a... We cannot do that, even in the best gardening, project.
People also think about, even those who have farms, they are not doing that. They are just there for holidays.
Forget about those ones. They get the farm with their own money. Yeah. For us, we can start our community development project.
No, I hear you.
How many people have studied community development projects, for example? And then they have started education. And we have got teachers who are crying without job. Of course, they don't have job. But here in the villages, everywhere, childhood development centers around. These are some of the things that can be sponsored by UNICEF, UNESCO, and all these bodies.
I think that is quite a very... content-based input, especially when
Let me just end up. I wanted just to see, to say, guys, you are giving us information, the education that you are getting.
Yeah.
If they are not getting it from wherever they are going. And you are giving them this information that is created by the General Arenga. So please, let's see how we can really reform our policies.
Yeah.
Our legal, it's a way we know that, yes, this is South Africa. Of course, if we can have all those human bill of rights, whatever you call it, If those three people can work for us, if they are working in South Africa, they can also work for us. But I just wanted to draw a distinction that the South African Constitution was drawn from the Namibian, was born actually from the Namibian Constitution.
No, there we are. We are on the same page, because even when you look at these South African lawyers, it's easy for them to come and assist here in Namibia or practice law here in Namibia. It's actually, if you pass bar exam in South Africa, you can come and practice here, but I don't think it's the other way around.
Well, exactly, you are correct. Mm-hmm. But what we need also, we have got also our legal mind, who are very careful, very intelligent and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have gone through the South African training system, but they are good. Of course, we can always draw them because we have got the same system.
Yeah.
More times some differences there and there because our laws, our act, our policy, they are so perfect. They are good. So that we do not capitalize and leverage on those good things that are made for us.
Yes, I hear you.
So, Mr. Shombe.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Barak Tumulemo.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for input.
Problem,
always. Yeah. Yes, we always thank our uncle for that content-based input, especially when it's coming to issues of development. And one thing also, South Africa and Namibia, especially when you spoke about the constitution, we actually almost have same laws. Almost have same laws, only the acts which are a bit different. But almost same laws, and looking at South African constitution to say they got example from us. Remember, we got independence first. And I think it's also very good, to make a clear distinction, as we have discussed, between what South Africa we're talking about. What South Africa are we talking about? And what is the new South Africa? And I think not going back into history, people also to get a distinction, because when we were colonized by South Africa, South Africa was also in pain. And the people do not know these things, because when South Africa was colonizing us, it's apartheid South Africa. It's apartheid South Africa. The Boers, they were the one who were colonizing us, because even they took over South Africa, I think 1948 there. 1948, that apartheid government. Then we got independence 1990. South Africa got its independence 1994 after, you know, the pressure from the world to release war prisoners and also to negotiate, where Ramaphosa was at the center of that negotiation. He was a very young man. He was at the center, was the chief negotiator. The chief negotiator there. Either he did well or sold out, that is up for interpretation. But the fact that spoke about South African constitution, when you look at, for example, people like senior counselor Tebeka Nkukaitombi, you can come here into Namibia and practice law. I remember at one point he was here to represent some people at court. Look at this South African lawyer again. The one who was representing IPC, most of the senior councils, they come here to Namibia because to them, Namibia and South Africa, it's almost the same thing. Almost the same legal system. Almost same legal system. That's why to them it's way easier. If you pass bar exam in South Africa, or you are an admitted lawyer, to say, this one is your ground. So if you have issues with trade, can hire a lawyer from South Africa to assist you. If you need a trade advisor, in terms of legal affairs, you can hire a lawyer from South Africa. Very easy. So, it's indicated that we have 2 minutes before the hour of 7, and we have around 60 minutes before the end of the program, because we are going to end at 8 o'clock. And for those of you coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are discussing economic affairs, we are discussing issues of development, we are discussing issues of trade, and it's indicated that, you know, South Africa is expected to host a G20 summit, and the preparations are already on the way, preparations are already on the way. And And Cyril Ramaphosa, the President of South Africa, has already launched G20 Task Force. You know, South Africa, for the first time, going to host G20. And what you need to look at is also ask a critical questions to say, is Donald Trump coming to South Africa? Is Donald Trump coming to Africa for the first time as a president? There is a lot of ambiguity. Or are they going to send the Secretary of State? Who are they going to send to represent the U.S. In the G20? And what you need to remember is also that it's a very critical point. Is the question that you also need to ask yourself? Question that you also need to ask yourself is that when it's coming to G20, when it's coming to G20. How is South Africa going to navigate this? Because South Africa is going to hand over the chair to United States of America. It's going to hand over the chair of G20 to United States of America. And looking at issues of critical importance. It's very difficult, and I also need to ask yourself these questions to say, Russia is also a member of G20 group. Is Putin coming? Is Putin coming? Is Putin coming? And what you also need to look at now, Putin is free to move around. We also need to question our international law, especially the effectiveness of our international institution to say, if you give a warrant of arrest to a person, when are you going to revoke that? Or is still open? Because looking at things, how things are standing, international institutions are becoming toothless without the power of strong countries, because they're actually standing in the air. It's like a prosecutor of International Court of Justice give a warrant of arrest to Benjamin Netanyahu, for example, for killing more than 50,000 Palestinians in Gaza Strip since the attack of Hamas on the 7th of October 2023. And it's like life is continuing. Life is continuing. That's why it's also a matter of question, but it's a very interesting thing to see. South Africa is not the first time hosting, international summits. Although South Africa is an equal society, it's one of the most powerful in terms of infrastructure, particularly in handling international summits. South Africa also proved to be a good host of guests. When you look at how they hosted the World Cup, regardless of crimes in South Africa, regardless of what the world is saying, South Africa managed to pull out that task. And also looking at even BRICS summit, look at Pan-African Parliament, and I think with G20, it's not going to be a difficult thing for South Africa, because they have managed to host world leaders. They have managed to host world leaders. And what does this mean to us? What does this mean to us? Are we also going as an observer? Because remember, when South Africa is going to host G20 in November, South Africa is also hosting Africa. I need to understand this to say Africa is also a member of, African Union is also a member of G20. There's a seat at the G20. South Africa is there as a country. Africa is also going to be represented. You understand how powerful South Africa is, because he's going to chair a meeting where he is inviting his continent to come. And it's very difficult to interpret it. Yes, hello?
Mr. Shombe.
Yes,
sorry for coming back.
Yeah.
You are just helping us to understand. I'm very, very, I thank God for your being there.
Mm.
So when when you talk about, you mentioned about South Africa held this, what is World Cup? It was World Cup.
Yeah, 2010 World Cup. They hosted World Cup.
So then that was the time, even before that, one of the my family friend is an electrical engineer. And those are the guys, he's a Namibian.
Okay.
Those are the guys who have designed most of those malls in Windhoek here.
Okay, okay, okay.
And I was asking him. No, I used to tell him, because I knew South Africa, sometimes when it comes to social and political, you know, it used to be a lot of confusion there. But we used to talk, but South Africa is not so stable. So he's also in the, he was in South Africa, but they were born here.
Okay, okay.
And I say, South Africa is not so stable, but why can't you, you know, think of Namibia now? In terms of stability, the peace, and things like that. And those are people who have, you can design. And they are the ones who have designed those stadiums.
Oh, okay.
In Africa that held the... That's why they had to demolish most of them again. So that other... Where they build constructed or, you know, structure. So they also had to demolish some of them again, so that maybe houses, malls, and all this can be constructed there.
So some were temporary, ne?
Some were temporary. It is true. It's painful when there are people to South Africa and play soccer there and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can also do that. But if you can say, now, fine, we have players, we have people, this human resource, graduate and things like that. We can also do something.
Yeah.
If we can collaborate and liaise strategically, create alliance within ourselves, and then we say more. Those guys who have constructed this South African thing, those they are here.
It's true. It's true. So those guys are Namibians are the one who are constructing.
Yes, I'm telling you now that we have family friends who are engineers, and they are the one who most of those malls, whether in Chome or wherever, even if they go to Nigeria and all this to construct those Shoprite, don't you want Shoprite in Nigeria or those kind of malls? Namibians.
But Namibians, they must come back home.
They are here.
Question is that, are the opportunities open, or how are things? Because I've seen some guys, they are in Botswana, South Africa too, even in the UK. Some people go there to study and they say, no, I got a job in UK.
Where we bring our country, Namibia.
Yeah.
Which is the, we are saying is the second or first, foreign, investment attraction.
No, it's number one in Africa, second in the world.
It's number one in Africa.
Yeah.
But are those not opportunity, economic opportunity, because of the environment, that is stable and peace? Are those not our opportunity?
No, they are actually opportunities if they are utilized well, because...
Maybe you think, if you can tell me, say, we are not utilizing the opportunities that are emerging from the market. We are not picking them up. We are not leveraging. Last time I say, are we leveraging on this, some of this, our strength?
Because, you know, it's also very difficult, because you must also think about who invested in your country. Let me take it this way. You know, you have, for example, Shell Company, invested in oil and gas. Then you have a Namibian, for example, chemical engineer. You work somewhere, you're a chemical engineer. And, just to put it out there to say, when you are going to this institution, because they have to incorporate Namibians, they also need to look at what skill Namibians have. Do you really think you are going to be at the center of that design, or you are going to be a hand angle?
Yeah, no, see, one of the doctor at NASS asked,
yeah.
When you say you do not have the capacity,
yeah.
Some people say they don't have the human capital.
Yeah.
Some of them will say now the finance.
Mm.
When you look at them now, the finance that Mene Tumba has put in on the table for you, and some of them, they are all those kind of reasons. But have you done this skill audit in Namibia and say, yes, the government doesn't have the capacity, the private sector doesn't have the capacity. There's even this triple P that is created. Public-private partnership. And we are saying that we are number one in Africa. That's why I just want us to drill.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you say you are number one in Africa, the is second in the world? I don't know whether it's in the world.
It's second in the world. It's a foreign...
Okay.
That is the conversation. Did you do skill audit? How do you deal with the skills that you have? Because, what do we have in Namibia? What can we also learn from the quality of skills that we got? How are we improving our education? Have we ever thought about where we would be at this stage? To say if I don't only teach an accountant, how to deal with finance, how to do the calculations, how to work in the banking sector, how to work with within the financial department at any institution, should I also teach this accountant to be innovative? To say, there's an aspect of e-banking. There's an aspect of emerging, financial inclusion startups. Maybe if you find yourself not able to work, this is what you can do. Have you ever incorporated that to say, a degree in education, for example, should not be a limit for you? Because you can still think, you can still do a job, you can still do something. You can still work at the UNICEF, like it was said. And this is not in the mind of our education, graduates, to say, you can still work at UN if you are an education graduate. Depends on how you are going to apply your skills. You can still work at UNICEF. You can still work at those education fund institutions. But it depends on it, but it's something that we need to work on. So let us look at South Africa, then we can look at what do we have today on the table, especially when we are going to look at our infrastructure development, we have to look at our infrastructure supporting our trade, to look at how are Namibians doing their business, are we utilizing our trade, who is most likely utilizing our trade ports, such as seaports, airports, railways, look at roads infrastructure, how safe it is, especially those who are in logistic, how safe it is. But let us look at South Africa, especially when it's coming to the hosting of, G20. South Africa is going to host, developed countries, going to head over the chairmanship to the United States of America. The question is Trump coming or not? What does this mean to Namibia? Are we having any opportunities there? Because every summit will bring guests, will bring international players, will bring opportunities for entrepreneurs, even to perform at G20. It depends on how you do the planning, because it's not only about the summit, it's also about connections. Is Namibia going to be represented, or is just the chairperson of the African Union who is going to to attend. What is the future of G20? What's the future of G20? Having also, African Union being part of G20, where South Africa is hosting. So South Africa is hosting his parent in, his own house. South Africa is more powerful now in terms of, the way it's positioned globally, or its position, the way it's positioned globally. And, it's hosting Africa, the whole Africa. But it's also very, clear to understand that Africa is nothing without the countries. But it's good to be represented there. It's good to be represented there because it's always about getting opportunities. It's always about getting, economic, advantage, for our own development. So let us look at, this news.
With just 100 days remaining before the historic G20 Leaders Summit.
When life gifts you a washing machine that just quit, take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274. Great news.
With just 100 days remaining before the historic G20 Leaders Summit in Johannesburg, the first ever on African soil, South Africa's preparations are in full swing. South Africa's G20 presidency is approaching its climax with 87 out of 132 G meetings across both Sherpa and finance tracks already in the books. The remaining ministerial meetings in September will set the tone for Johannesburg Leaders' Declaration anchored on solidarity, equality and sustainability. This agenda-driven framework aims to help set the global economic focus for the summit. A major question marking the countdown is whether U.S. President Donald Trump will attend. He has expressed strong disapproval of South African policies, particularly land reform, and signaled he might send a representative instead. Despite this, International Relations Minister Ronald Lamola reiterated that South Africa's invitation stands. Key issues on the table include global inequality and sovereign debt burden.
Yes, that is a state of South Africa. And, looking forward, those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe. It's Early Morning Scoop. And, Africa is also expected, or Africa Development Bank is expected to held in a swearing ceremony for its new president. That is, Dr. Cindy Old. Dr. Cindy Ota, who is going to be, you know, take an oath to lead, African Development Bank, is going to take an oath, before the bank's, governors, ministers of finance and central bank, governors of, member countries. It's going to be, an important event, especially leading African Development Bank. It's a bank for development. It's a bank where you can also get a loan as a country. And it's quite doing some work. If you look at the record of African Development Bank, it's doing some work. It's also collaborating with when you follow very well, even with Namibia, when it's coming to developmental projects. When you look at, for example, how African Development Bank is centered, it's also in cooperation with international partners. You look at, for example, the $5.5 billion. That is, pledged to be given to African Development Bank from Japan, after the Tokyo International Conference on African Development. You also be able to realize to say, it's quite a very powerful institution. And being a leader of African Development Bank, it's quite a huge responsibility. And it was also a very competitive, job, because you don't only need to pass the interview, you need the political, you need political support. And, and something that we also need to ask ourselves, is that when it's coming to leading of African institutions, how are we in terms of equal representation? Because when you look at how complaints have been, especially when you look at the Southern Africa and North Africa, in most cases, the Southern Africa is quite, complaining about the representation. It's quite complaining about the representation, especially when it's coming to leading of African institutions. Same applies to African Union chairperson, not the political chairperson, but the chairperson of African Union Commission. I mean, when you look at the previous or the outgoing, who did quite some work, the outgoing president of African Development Bank, this Dr. Ndisenya, did quite some work, especially when it's coming to project on food security, And we are expecting Dr. Ta to see what is he going to do. You know, I thought Dr. Kamaimbo from Zambia was going to make it, because he was one of the leading candidates for this position. He's one of the leading candidates for this position, and with experience in working at World Bank for quite a long time. Unfortunately, he did not make it, but we are all Africans. We just hope that African Development Bank group will be able to be utilized for its highest purpose, because that is our bank. That is where we get not only money but also technical advice in implementing a developmental project, either food security, agriculture, and also issues of water and security, issues of governance. And it's also giving also scholarship being given by African Development Bank in partnership with Japan, and it's quite an important institution to look at, and being a leader of that that institution is quite a huge responsibility. And the question you're asking yourself, where are our Namibians, executives, our Namibian academics? Why can't they compete for this, this position, or we do not get qualified? Yeah, but, we also need to be in that space as Namibia to see where are our people, But, we also have track record in running institutions, looking at, for example, SADC there. If you look at our current Director General for National Planning Commission, if you go back, I think at one point it was the secretary, executive secretary, if I'm not mistaken, for SADC. So look at SACU. Memerago just completed it. I think two terms, the leading those institutions, but we need to do more. We need to do more again to send our people at an international front, running international institutions, especially those which are related to economic development, because you get influence, you get, trust, and you also speak, for your region, particularly Southern Africa, and also, see how we can, move forward when it's coming to developmental issues. So, we have around 37 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Let us look at commercial break. Then we can look at where are we standing Namibia in terms of infrastructure. Where are we standing? And how do we utilize our infrastructure? Are our infrastructure going to accommodate our planning? Because apart from having a good plan, and also the people on the other side and money, you also need to look at what do you have and what are those trade infrastructure that we are talking about? What are those infrastructures that are enabling Namibia to trade with the world, and also trade with the continent and also the world? How are our infrastructure? How reliable are they? How are we connected? Because when you look at where we are positioned as a country, we must be quite thankful to be Namibian, because we are a strategic logistical hub. Even those who came to colonize us, they realized to say it's quite very strategic. It's only Walvis Bay, Ruder, it's seaport, and Cape of Good Hope. They had to say no, this is it's quite a strategic hub, because it's connecting Namibia and also Southern Africa to the world. When you look at where we are, how are our infrastructure? So those are some of the things that we are going to look at and ask ourselves questions to say, how can we utilize them properly? And what are we lacking in? What are we lacking in? And what is the meaning of that? And how can we move forward in terms of the way we deal with trade and the way we deal with our developmental issues?
Great news.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, we are asking questions to say, how are Namibia trade infrastructures? How are Namibia trade infrastructures? And for your own understanding, for you to trade, because where we are positioned as a country, where we are positioned as a country, we are geographically, strategically positioned well to do our business with the world, either by sea, by road, or by air. And we are neighbors to countries with resources, countries with resources. All our neighbors with resources. You look at Zambia, copper, best producer of copper. I think maybe leading in Africa. Look at Botswana, diamond. We understand the value of diamond is going down, but even lab-made diamond is top producers of diamonds. You look at South Africa, talk about platinums, gold, and resources. You look at Angola, that is oil. That is oil and that is money. Then the question that you are asking yourself is that when we are doing our planning as a country, when we are doing our planning as a country, we always reference, you know, United Nations Sustainable Developmental Goals. We also reference, you know, just before we come down, we also reference almost in every policy. Start with the United Nations Sustainable Development Goal. Then you come with Africa Agenda 2063. We look at Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Then you come down to the planning. Then the question that we are asking ourselves is to say, are our infrastructure on point? Are our infrastructure on point? Let me maybe going one by one. To say for you to trade. We don't only talk about trade when a country is the one which is selling. You don't only talk about trade when it's a state resources, but trade when everybody is selling. When you talk about the trade with other countries, how are our roads? And I want to give credit where it due. I want to give credit. If we start with our roads and bridges, for the past 35 years, that was one of the best thing that Namibia have done. Connectivity for business. In terms of roads, roads were constructed. But the question we're asking is, that, are they enough? Is the place where you are connected to the main road, or you are still struggling to make sure that you get your goods to the market? Because if we have to make sure that we start from there. Are you still struggling to make sure that you get your goods to the market? Because when you look at what have been done for the past 35 years, roads have been one of the things that we did well. But the question you're also asking yourself, how stable are they? Because when you look at the Statista report of 2024, say that Namibia is a top position in Africa in terms of best road infrastructure with the scoring index of 5.57 out of 7. We are number one in road, infrastructure. Then the question you're asking yourself, are we really number one? What does that mean to Africa? If you are number one, what does that mean to the other part of Africa? And in this context, we must also thank ourselves for that. We should not shy away from saying, no, we did well in terms of our roads. But are our roads safe? Do we know how to use that, that roads that is number one in Africa? Are we safe? You know, the end of August, they've just, not only that, they just indicated otherwise. Because that is also impacting trade. How are our road users, pedestrians, and also drivers? What does this also mean? What does this also mean also to trade? Because it's one thing also to have a better infrastructure. Is the other thing to know how to use that infrastructure. Because when you look at June International Trade Balance Report, is indicating that the 60% of our import, 60% of our import are by road. 60%. Now, the question that we also need to ask ourselves is that 60% is by road. Do we need to find a better way? Because if you have 60% of your import by roads, it means that, you know what that means? It means that your road is full of trucks, because people don't trade with, when they are doing their logistic, you cannot just trade with like a sedan saying I have items coming from South Africa. 60% of our imports are by roads. Then you have trucks everywhere. Trucks everywhere. And there was also a proposal to look at if our infrastructure is our infrastructure is our road infrastructure under pressure. Now the other proposal which was presented by economists also is about utilization of our railway system. Utilization of our railway system. What is the progress of advancing our railway system? Do we even have trains? I used to see some around. How is Transnamib? Can somebody please check for us? How is Transnamib operating? Is the trade still going on? You know, just in May, the Minister of Transport, that is Mr. Veiko Nekundi, has cancelled that tender of locomotive tender by Transnamib. That locomotive tender by Transnamib, and one of the reason was irregularities in terms of plan and also contracting one single supplier without competition in terms of binding or bidding, sorry, in terms of bidding. Now the question that we ask ourselves is that how is our train transport system? Because remember, if you have our friends from Zambia, when they are doing their trade, when they are exporting using our seaport in Walvis Bay, there are always trucks all the way to Walvis Bay. When you are traveling to in these seven cities or with a shuttle or with a private to the coast, you'll be able to see how difficult it is. How difficult it is. Especially when you are being approached by these trucks. And the question that you are asking yourself is that, had we looked at, for example, at the connectivity of our system with railways and up to standard trains, how is the condition of our trains? What is the condition of our trains in Namibia? If you go to South Africa and China, people are attracted to going to trains. But in Namibia, are we doing that? How many of you traveled by trains in the past 8 months? Are they even operational? What can we do to make sure that we connect Africa with the world? The founding father have started. He was on the ground. He started with good plans, actually. Then the question we're asking yourself, what really happened? Because the man started connecting Namibia to, he had a very good plan connecting Namibia, because he understood that you can only, if you have strong trade infrastructures, you can be able to trade very well with your neighbors and also with the whole Africa. The Cape to Cairo dream of connecting Africa The man started, he started with railways, he started with, you know, green schemes. He had plans, actually. But the question, those are some of the things that we need to ask ourselves. Now, apart from that, because when we speak about trade infrastructure, you mean almost everything connected to trade, or everything which is connected to, you know, enabling trade to happen. There's also an aspect of connectivity and networking. Connectivity and network. Because how is our network system? And I want to thank also, especially the sector of connecting of network. Especially in the internet system, where you'll be able also to do business online, because nowadays it's not only about getting things from South Africa. Sometimes you just need a computer to do your order. You just need a computer to do your order, do your transactions. But in terms of internet connectivity, there are some areas also where people are struggling with the network. There are some areas where people are struggling with the network. But is the internet inclusive? Is the internet inclusive enough? Is it inclusive to everybody? Is Namibia covered? Is the whole Namibia covered? Or there are still some people who are still struggling? Or there are still some people who are still struggling to do business? Because when you talk about trade infrastructure, internet connectivity, even electricity itself, how is our electrical infrastructure? The other thing is also that having electricity, then affordability of electricity is also coming in to say, how are we going to enable that trade to happen? How are we going to enable that trade to happen? Because it's more than having an infrastructure. Is it an infrastructure useful? Is the infrastructure useful? It can assist me to do trade. Because if we don't do that, then we are failing a lot. And the other aspect, I want to admit, especially when it's coming to our seaports, look at Rüderitz, look at Walvis Bay. Will be able to understand that Namibia have done much. And also I think to our Chinese friend, there are also things that they did well, especially in advancing those seaports and connecting us to the world. But the question you're asking yourself is that how many of us Namibians are using that for trade? Because remember, how many businesses in Namibia owned by Namibians who are trading outside? How many who are sending their things outside? Because we are talking about who are sending their things outside. Either you are using Walvis Bay seaport, you are using Rüderitz seaport, you are using even Hosea Kutako International Airport to send your things outside. How many businesses in Namibia are doing that? We are just consuming anything which is coming. Because having infrastructure is good, but are we utilizing them? Especially for exports. Or we are just taking things in. Because it's one thing to have an infrastructure, and it's the other thing also to use it. Is it really for us or other people who are trading with us? Yeah, because if you are talking about the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, if you are talking about Africa Continental Free Trade Area, we must also be very careful, because the complication of trade is this: when you open up, then you do not have strong infrastructure. Because if you open up the borders, things will start coming in. Competition will also increase. But if you think about Africa Continental Free Trade Area, and and our infrastructures are not on point, how are we going to do business? We don't have well-functioning railways. People are even scared of looking at those trains. I do not want to say they are not attracted to them, but they are a bit old. They are a bit old. How are you going to do business if you already can't do it when borders are not, or barriers are still there, although not 100%? Because those are some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves, and also not only to look at those who are in charge of making sure that infrastructures are in order, also looking at are Namibians cautious enough, or do we know how to use our infrastructure? Do we use them with care? So let us look at paying the bills.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
We have around 15 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. We are assessing the state of Namibia infrastructure. We are indicating to say when it comes to road, Namibia have done well. Namibia have done well, especially in building roads. And you also understand that when you look at the past 20 years or so, you will be able to understand that complaining about connectivity of the roads and infrastructure is no more a matter on the table. And last year I traveled to Enana for the second time. Then I realized to say, when you look at that the way that the road is constructed, you'll be able to say Namibia is a very beautiful country. It's not like your G and Joe road. It's a well functioning. Then you'll be able to see this is what we call development. There are things that we also need to be appreciative about. So, no, this is what we call development. But the question that you're asking yourself, what will happen to that in the next 10 years or so? Do Namibians know how to maintain the infrastructure? Do we know how to maintain our infrastructures? Do we know? Not only trade infrastructure, but just infrastructure in general. Even government offices, new buildings, very beautiful. But do we know how to maintain them as ours? Or we are just doing for the sake of doing things? It's maintenance and also usage. How do we use it? We build the best roads in Africa. Now the Vrupa is at 280. It does not care about who is on the road. Then we are losing our loved ones because of that. We have good road infrastructure to connect us to do trade, but pedestrians are there sleeping on the road. They are there. And when you look at the report of MVA Fund, especially those with pedestrian safety of June, you'll be able to see the concern. People are building electrical infrastructure. Namibians are there cutting out copper. They are cutting copper so they can. How can you take out copper? People are being electrically, they are shocked by electricity, trying to cut out copper. Any infrastructure is there for you. And I remember, I had a guest at one point, we talk about this, network tower. Namibia, we just want to take out, because those are our infrastructure for trading. They are connecting us to the world so that we can do business very well. But instead of us maintaining them the way we do things, we are just because an ordinary Namibian just want to take out the path so that they can sell to make that fast money. So it's quite something that we need to look at, because as long as we are talking about building infrastructure to assist that with trade, it's quite very important also to look at the maintenance of those infrastructure. Look at our green schemes. Tractors were there, materials getting rotten at an open space. And people do not care. Because sometimes when the president said everybody must be a catalyst in development, you must be able also to realize, to say, she understood that she cannot do it alone, and we cannot do it alone. We need everybody to be on board, to understand how things are working, and also to make sure that you are part of the process. You are part of the process. Because if we cannot maintain the infrastructure that we have, how are we going to deal with the one that we are going to build again? How are we going to deal with the one that we are going to build? Because people are investing in our country. They are investing in our country. Although we have our problems, we must also be proud to say, no, if we are the second in the world in terms of attracting of investment, we are the number one in Africa. And we're also number one in terms of road infrastructure. We must also look at what is that we are not doing right, because our problems will not go away. What is that we are not doing right? Is it our inability to maintain our infrastructure that will cost us more money, or that will cost us more money again instead of focusing on other, development aspects? Because that is one thing that you need to look at. That's something that we really need to look at, and we really need to assess. We need to assess, especially when it's coming to the way we do business. Because people can only trust you if you have stable, effective infrastructure, and you can be able to do business. In that way, you can be able to do business with the world. Now, look at, for example, the city, Windhoek itself. The quality of your infrastructure is not defined by the stability. It's defined by the difficulty or the test of that infrastructure. When you are building a bridge, it should assist you in times of difficult situation. When you are building roads, and I think city of Windhoek must also be able to get to learn one thing or two, especially during rain season. There's no difference whether you are in Katutura, you are in Upper Town, wherever you are, there are potholes everywhere. Potholes, real potholes, and we forget easily when the rain was raining so much. We forget very easily to say we suffered due to those potholes. Potholes everywhere. What is the best thing that we can do to have a better infrastructure? Because people can do business with you if you understand also how to maintain your things at home. Imagine somebody came to Windhoek, maybe from, can be Zambia, can be China, can be Sweden. For the first time, you're a business person. Then you look at potholes. Then you look at what happened. And then you look at the way things are during that difficult time. How are you going to do business? And are these roads that we have the best in Africa able also to maintain us during a difficult time? We are talking about issues of climate change. Rain can even come tomorrow. We are talking about issues of climate change because weather becomes so unpredictable due to climate change. And we have, we can say the impact of these things. Are our infrastructure going to maintain the difficulties of time? We are just going to go back to the drawing board. We're just going back to the drawing board. Are we able to maintain them? Especially transport play a crucial role. Transport and road network. Transport and internet connectivity play a crucial role in trade and development. Therefore, the question that we need to ask ourselves is that how do we maintain them? What is that need to be done to make sure that, we accelerate or we attract, more investors and we do business smoothly and we do business smoothly. And the other thing, the indirect infrastructure, also accommodations. Also accommodations. How are we doing in terms of accommodation, especially those who are in the tourism sector? How are we doing in terms of that, in terms of accommodation? In terms of our hotels, in terms of our lodges, in terms of our camping sites also, because all this aspect that we are talking about has an impact in the way we do business. And also the question that we need to ask ourselves is that, how are we doing with the world as ordinary Namibian in terms of doing business? People are buying bales from Angola, Zambia, and many other countries. The other time somebody just corrected me to say it's not a fardo, it's fardo. So I was really trying to get that word corrected to say, no, it's not a fardo, it's fardo. But how are we doing in terms of utilizing our in infrastructure to trade with the world? And it's also something that we need to think of, especially when it's coming to supporting what is in our national development priorities. What is in our NDP 6. And also, if you want also to understand better how we are doing as a country, make sure that you have a luxury of, following the Villager newspaper. Follow the Villager newspaper. Read what is on that document. Read what is on that paper. Because every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday, we are always, making sure that we keep you updated. So, dear listeners, before we come to the end of our conversation, just continue to follow us, Eagle FM Namibia, at all our social media platform. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, LinkedIn, and also Instagram. And also make sure that Eagle FM app, download the Eagle FM app so that you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air right now, and also the previous programs. And the other thing is also that make sure that you have a luxury of accessing Imba app, because that is the only way you can make your life easier, can make your life easy, you can work smart, and make sure that part of your sources, especially the student of trade, economics, and development, part of your sources is the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper. You don't need to pay anything, actually. You just need to like our page and share our page. You don't need to pay anything. And it's a free information. You can just subscribe at this number, 081-241-44, 081-241-44. Send your name and save that into your WhatsApp contact details. And when you do that, you bought yourself a luxury of being updated every Monday, every Wednesday, and also every Friday. So with me, David Shombe, we are coming to the end of our early morning scoop. And we are always thanking you, especially for listening to Eagle FM Namibia and continue supporting us. And we value your contribution, and we also value your interaction, especially on our social media platform. And it's also good when you are guiding us and correcting us, because the Eagle FM, that is how we educate each other. So I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike. I'll give the mic to Mike so that he can unpack the day. Can unpack the day for me, David Shombe. Bye bye for now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as
ombitombwa nawa olonjika. Tseitha nina omayakulo nilandithomwa yoye yongeshefa yoye okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uuka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengera Selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.